Dancy Lagarde fans, you will be thrilled to know a book is coming out if you fund it. Via Unbound, we are publishing The Dancy Lagarde Reader by Alice Fraser and Dancy Lagarde, a glorious insight into the world of Dancy Lagarde, self-published romance maven and online bestseller. If you would like to find out how to support it, go to thebuglepodcast.com. If we get enough support, we will publish the book. That's a real thing that's going to happen. Thebuglepodcast.com to support The Dancy Lagarde Reader.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, posters, and welcome to The Last Post, the post-final word on this, the most post-final of worlds. This is The Last Post. I'm your last host, Alice Fraser. In 2020, I brought you all the latest news from this dimension 366 days of the year, but since the world ended in a dragon-related incident that surviving politicians are calling regrettable, a number of the remnant shreds of governments have pledged to commit to convene an investigative committee as a signal of how seriously they take these issues. Although, of course, some on the more conservative side of politics are suggesting that if you didn't want to be apocalypsed, you should have lifted yourself off the ground with your own bootstraps and waited in the stratocumulus until the dragon threat passed. We have two guests today, if we can get through the choking ash cloud and the fact that very little Wi-Fi reception has made it through the end of civilization. The first is Comandante NATO Green. Welcome back, sir.
De pie luchar, que vamos a triunfar. Avanzan ya banderas de unidad. Y tú vendrás marchando junto a mí. Okay, I'll stop.
Okay. How are you? Is that the answer?
I'm all right. You know, Alice, you know what they don't prepare you for about the apocalypse is how much of your conversations with other people are going to consist of you have very bad breath. You spend a lot of time talking about how bad everyone else's breath is and your own because you no longer have access to indoor plumbing and toothpaste.
Well, yeah, I mean, that is very true. As somebody who's orbiting the world in my own space station / podcasting studio, I only have to deal with my own bad smells, and I've become smell blind to those. But I pity you down on Earth. It was weird how the were-dragon targeted only toothpaste in terms of consumer goods.
I read in one of the few remaining blogs that exist in the apocalypse that you have, in the orbiting space station, you have some type of bidet situation for every part of your body.
It's just called a Fraser hose.
Is it a froze? Do you have a froze to wash down?
We'll be talking about your latest stories on the front of battle in the what remains of the US as our top story for today. But first, some headlines of stories we won't have time for. But first, a word from our sponsor, Prepper Magazine, who are releasing a special Told You So edition, including a free set of stakes to peg out your virgin sacrifice to the Boris Johnson / Piers Morgan were-dragon. We're not sure if he likes that yet, but we've got to assume misogyny is genetic. Now it's time for headlines that we won't have time for. Kim and Kanye utter divorce after Kim was accidentally melded with a number of other miscellaneous Kardashians and Jenners during the apocalypse at the end of last year, while Kanye continued to be the same sort of many people he was when they wed. Now, of course, all prenups have been voided by the end of any systems for legal enforcement, but also money isn't worth anything anymore, so it's hoped they'll part amicably. A spokesperson for the couple has said that the amicability of their uncoupling depends in large part on whether the reality TV industry recovers in enough time to make it watchable. Do you follow celebrity news, Comandante?
Boy, howdy, do I ever. Yeah, I'm a big fan of the celebrity news. I enjoy it. All the celebrities, the Kim and Kanye, it's our royalty, you know. So I have been obsessed with this detail that much like the British royals, Kanye insisted that Kim only be photographed with her chin parallel to the floor, which apparently is a rule of the British royals. And it's both so specific, and I also don't even, like, I have trouble understanding it.
Meanwhile, floods have followed fire in the octopus-occupied territories of what used to be called Australia. Pundits and weathermen have given up guessing and are now placing bets on whether the next outcome will be floods that are on fire, or fire that is somehow made out of water. As somebody who has a, you know, heritage connection to Australia, I feel quite sad that Australia is both on fire and underwater at the same time, but I feel it was inevitable given our history.
So do we think that, like, the flooding part is it a fast-moving flood that is whisking people away, or is it just like Australia is turning into a continent-sized kiddie pool and that the Australians can wade around in?
Yeah, it's just sort of like Denmark without the mildness. Everything's just a bit wet.
Uh-huh.
But also, importantly, on fire. So for a while there, we were doing bushfires one year, floods the next, and that was sort of the way that we did it, and now we've combined the two.
Oh, yeah, we just did that in California where, you know, during fire season, we had what they called fire cyclones, where the wildfires go 200 miles an hour. And then, so that was a new weather phenomenon to be afraid of. And then they announced there was a new weather phenomenon to be afraid of, which they call, during the rainy season, which was rivers in the sky. So it wasn't just rain, but it was sky rivers. And that if the sky rivers landed on places that were previously burned down, then we would have mudslides. And we did, and a lot of people died. And it was apocalyptic.
Who knew that Sharknado 7, sharks on fire falling out of the sky during a fire tornado, was going to be so prophetic? Meanwhile, in the United Kingdom, King Arthur, returned after all these years, is currently making a play for the charred remains of the British throne, raising funds for his move by selling cameos of him pulling swords out of stones on the popular app Cameo, rating classic King Arthur books on YouTube, and selling authentic King Arthur moments as NFTs, or non-fungible tokens. The revived Dark Ages King has embraced technology with a vengeance, and boy, does he know vengeance. Have you bought any King Arthur memorabilia?
I thought I did, but it turned out to be just a Banksy roll of toilet paper. So I think it was improperly labeled in the NFT auction. I'm holding out for the Guinevere NFT, personally.
So is Lancelot. Zing! Sick burn, Lancelot. That's all the time we have for the headlines we don't have time for, because now it's time for your ads. This month's episode of The Last Post is brought to you by tiny little windscreen wipers for your glasses. Someone invent the shit out of these. I would wear them. And a puzzle game you can play on your phone where you're a little man trying to get a trove of Bitcoin, but it's behind two walls locked with three keys and some lava and some water. You watch helpless as the little man pulls what is clearly the wrong key and all the Bitcoin falls into the lava. Oh no! What do you do? Do you buy the game so you can fix this tiny man's mistakes? Or do you take a deep breath and drink half a glass of water and step away from the f***ing lame waste of time game that some f***head is making millions of dollars from your pandemic need to impose your will on a non-existent world? Puzzle game. Available now online. And this episode is brought to you by Classic King Arthur NFTs Online. Buy a Classic King Arthur NFT online with your Bitcoin or Ethereum wallet. It turns out it's not much worse for the environment than the US petrodollar, so go f*** yourself.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And that's your ad section for today. Now we've done our capitalism for today, let's turn to the opposite of capitalism. Nato Green, our top story correspondent for the day. Comandante, how's the war effort going?
So the Revolutionary Army continues to roam the land, the insurgent guerrillas. We are having some trouble with sectarian splits within our movement without an opposition to unify us. There's some amount of, people calling themselves the League of Different Things, the League of Maoist Revolutionaries versus the League of Revolutionary Maoists. That sort of nonsense. And so I am concerned that the movement will dissipate and will be consumed by infighting and become irrelevant. And so I'm hoping, at this point, I'm sort of vamping for time, if you will, to keep my forces focused and distracted in the hopes that things start to turn around post the apocalypse and give us a new enemy to fight. So mostly what we've been doing to keep the struggle alive is a lot of stretching, limbering up. It can be catastrophic if you suddenly are in a pitched battle and then you get a Charlie horse or some other type of cramp. You don't want to pull something in the middle of a duel.
Look, in space, there are a lot of cramps. I think partly they come down on you because they know that no one will be able to hear you scream. Also, it's very hard to get magnesium out of here. Again, I put a lot of magnesium in the spa and the sauna, and it's turning out to be a terrible mistake.
And the froze.
And the froze, yeah. I decided that causation and correlation were closely interlinked and that what I needed to do was get colonics in order to become a celebrity.
Sure. So you're sort of reversing the sequence. Yep. And if you just get enough seltzer water colonics, you'll become a celebrity. Yep. That makes sense.
I mean, that's literally how Instagram works. That's what people believe.
Note to self. So we've been doing some stretching. Can I suggest that you try cutting the magnesium with molybdenum? Just to add another element there to get to space out the molecules?
Sure. I'll give it a shot.
I don't know how science works. Yeah. So, yeah, we've been stretching a lot. I've also been saying just a little bit further, the enemy is over that hill. I say that a lot. We just have to get over that one. They're over there. And then we get over there. And it was like, oh, they must have gone further. We have to go over the other hill.
It is surprising how long people will continue to re-suspend their disbelief. Watching QAnon continually extend the deadline for their revolution is, I feel, very instructive for all of us who want to keep people hanging for ages.
Right. Yeah, it's, I think of it as the apocalypse prison experiment. Very much like the Stanford Prison Experiment, except that no one will get a bachelor's degree as a result of it. So we've also been working on our pageantry. A revolutionary struggle, you need good pageantry. As you know, I've spent a fair amount of time in Cuba, so modeled heavily on the Cuban Revolution, where, like, I don't know if you've followed the aesthetics of the Cuban Revolution, but at the point of the July 26th, the siege at Moncada that kicked off what is now considered the beginning of the Cuban Revolution, all the revolutionaries were very clean-shaven and young men, kind of preppy, and then they had to flee to Mexico, came back on a yacht, fled into the mountains, and then they grew out their beards, opened their shirts so that you could see their chests. Mm. They sort of got into a very sexy, beardy thing. Oof. That invented...
It's not a revolution if you're not f***ing.
Yeah, that's right. So there's a lot of... photographs of Che Guevara, like, on a hillside with a cigar, just like knee deep in puss. So that's clearly what's going on. Very sexy up there. And you got to grow out your pageantry, have your look, have a jaunty beret if that works for you. You have different colors for different squadrons.
I've always wondered, what do revolutionaries have against hats with brims?
Right. Well, it depends on the revolution, because, for example, Zapata, very famous hat with brim. Pancho Villa, famous hat with brim. Mm-hmm. So there's some regional variation in the brim usage of the revolutionaries, and also about how formalized their military kit is. So if they're earlier orders, hat with brim, and then later berets. My whole life is at the nexus of haberdashery and revolution. So
can I please have that be a poster? I need someone to meme that.
Yeah.
You need to sell merch.
Posters, get on that. So look, I am obviously a revolutionary commandante. I lead a force, but I feel like I have not earned the shoulder thingies that they wear.
Epaulettes?
Epaulettes. Is that a French word?
Yes.
So I feel like I just haven't accomplished enough to deserve epaulets. I have epithets.
Hey.
Hey. So I aspire to that in my revolutionary future.
Well, where are they going to fit those epaulets with that chip on your shoulder?
That's right.
You got to back yourself. You got to back yourself. As a revolutionary commandante, you just get to choose to, like, you don't need to be promoted. You just got to decide that these are the epaulets you're wearing, and then you wear those epaulets, and everyone else, if they question you, you murder them. That's the MO.
I would like to just take a moment to appreciate you, Alice, for the reversal of normal roles, that you are, as we speak, a woman encouraging a heterosexual, cisgendered white man to fake it till he makes it, overcoming his own insecurity and self-doubt. And how often does that conversation occur?
Lean in. I truly am the Lady Macbeth of Cuban-style post-apocalyptic revolution.
I need that meme.
But there's no running water. How am I going to wash this blood clean from my hands?
Well, that's the other thing about the Cuban Revolution is, like, if you look at the museums, there are museums all over the island of Cuba, and that's what I'm trying to bring into the apocalypse as well. In my approach to the revolution is, there are museums all over the island of Cuba that commemorate different things about the revolution, where they have the bloody clothing of someone who was killed at some battle. And you just have to appreciate any revolutionary army that, like, in the middle of a pitched battle, while under enemy gunfire, has the presence of mind to pick up the bloody clothing and just throw it in a bag to save it for historical purposes. You really want to think about your kind of, like, aesthetic branding foresight in your revolutionary strategy. What are your opportunities for merch? That sort of thing. One more update. Of course, this goes without saying. I'm sure that you expected me to say it, but I want to make sure that it didn't get lost. Of course, the Revolutionary Army is also spending a fair amount of time all going down on each other until everyone comes at the same time. So that is proceeding apace.
I assumed that when you told me you were unbuttoning the second and third buttons of your shirts.
Yeah, I wanted to keep everyone abreast of that detail.
I think that's the way it works, is you unbutton the second and third button of your shirt, and man or woman, the moment you turn around, you just get a face full of crotch. That's turn away from the mirror and it's straight into your face. But in a consensual way. Now it's time for hot apocalypse tips for how to repair your relationship if you panicked when Dragon Gate went down and accidentally abandoned your family, murdered a neighbor, or told your boss to go f*** himself, and then they somehow miraculously survived. Tip 1. Pretend it was a doppelganger. Tip 2. Pretend it was tentacle time that made them imagine you did the thing you did, because who can prove you didn't? Tip 3. Start a cult where nobody's allowed to question your actions. Tip 4. Recommend they go see Alice Fraser's Melbourne International Comedy Festival show Kronos, a show about time that's so good it's recommending itself across dimensions and also before it's finished being written. It opens on the 2nd of April, and we can all assume it'll be good by then. Well, Nato, we are going to move on to our next guest for today. Have you got anything to plug on your side of the world?
Sure thing. I have a couple albums out, most recently the Whiteness album. And if you want to support the arts, the best way in terms of royalties for the artist to buy the album is on Bandcamp. So if you go to Bandcamp, you can get them anywhere comedy can be streamed or download. But please check out the Whiteness album on Bandcamp. Or you can find me on Twitter at Nato Green or on Instagram at Mr. Nato Green, where there are mostly these days pictures of food and cocktails and incredibly detailed and esoteric arguments about San Francisco public school district politics.
Well, of course, none of those are available here in this dimension because of the horrible apocalypse. But if you are listening from the other dimension, which I hear you can occasionally do, find that stuff. And Nato Green over here will know that you're supporting him in some sort of ephemeral moral sense. And your next guest is all the way from Mars, the magnificent, the lawyerly, the extremely on Mars, Anuvab Pal. How are you?
Hello, Alice. How are you?
Welcome back to the show, Space Buddy. I was watching out for you. I was worried that you wouldn't get all the way to Mars. I'm so super glad that you made it in your tin can of a spaceship. What's happening on the red planet?
Alice, I'm here on Mars, and I've come here on an Indian spaceship. As you know, we build most of our spaceships with organic Indian material. We may not be the fastest spaceship, but we're definitely the cheapest. And I'm sorry, I don't know if you can hear some construction noise, but what's currently happening is we're building a courtroom. in Mars to sort of replicate all the litigation that got lost in the apocalypse.
Oh, that's so friendly. So will you be in this court? Will you be acting as a lawyer? Will you be acting as a judge? What are laws like on Mars at the moment?
We're still formulating them. And one of the good things about being a lawyer, formulating the laws, is later when you practice the same laws, you're already ahead because you made them. I basically picked up that tip years ago from Earth, from something called the British Empire, that when you make up the laws, it's always easy to then be a lawyer later in life.
Oh, yeah.
So I am here to represent one of my main clients on Mars. You may know him personally, Elon Musk.
I mean, I don't know him personally, but I know of him, certainly.
Yeah.
Of the billionaires, he's certainly in people's top five billionaires.
Yeah, he is. He was in the old world and he is in the new, but obviously he's very busy, so he can't actually be in Mars. He's sort of choosing a nice home across sort of the interstellar landscape, if you will. But he's left a lot of the litigating work to me, and one of the first things that we're going to try to do in this colony is move on from human beings. Because that's very sort of old school and old world.
Yes, definitely. Elon Musk is, I get the sense from Elon Musk's work that he's not super keen on human beings.
Not he's not big on it. And also it's very done. You know, men and women procreating, giving birth to another thing. That's another organic thing with its own thoughts and ideas that then leads to other children that propel the world forward. That idea is, you know, I don't know how to put it, very 1985. One of the things, Alice, that you will appreciate we want to do on this sort of new colony is set up a modern kind of human being, keeping the core idea. So you may have heard of my client's car, Tesla, which worked in the old world.
Yes, indeed. Worked.
Worked, yeah. You know, people sat in it, went to places. It drove itself. And we're taking that core technology and we're creating battery-operated human beings.
Ah.
So you'll be able to sort of charge yourself at any station on Mars once we're done building it. And you essentially will continue to be the same person. So my colleague and friend Alice Fraser, comedian, writer, thinker, if you get tired of sort of being all those things, you can recharge yourself and continue to be those things. You don't have to die, you know, eventually die like in the old planet and pass on your Alice Fraserism to another human being, either your progeny or somebody unrelated. You know, that's sort of done. This particular Alice Fraser could continue forever. And what do you think of that, by the way, first of all?
Look, I think it was an inevitable slippery slope from paying for bottled water rather than just drinking water out of the tap to paying for life.
Yeah.
I'm wary, of course, given the rapidly decreasing supply of lithium for rechargeable batteries. But I know that's one of Elon Musk's main space missions is to recharge lithium batteries with space lithium, because otherwise he's just invented billions of dollars into an electric car company that will be completely non-functional in about 15 years.
Exactly. Lithium is the new petrol.
I mean, the solution, you know, is not to fix the car. It's go to space.
You need to go to space, right? That's the obvious. Because, you know, if there is an obvious solution staring you in the face, which is simple, easy to execute, my client does not want to avail of that option.
No.
My client wants to avail of the option you haven't ever thought of, which is let's go to the last option available, which is let's go to another planet and ignore the problem that we're going to run out of lithium.
Which is what makes him such an innovative thinker, Anavab.
Thank you. And somebody who, I have to say, regularly pays his legal fees on time. I don't get paid in currency. I get paid in bitcoins, which then would translate into space food, which I eat as a space lawyer. But again, I don't want to get into my own contractual obligations with my client. But what I want to tell you is you're welcome to come here. We are expecting you here. And I think your comedic skills and genius would be a great asset on this planet to no one in particular. Now we've got no one. But from what I hear, there's no one on Earth listening to comedy as well. So I think we'd be all right.
That's true. I mean, I've always been wary of going to Mars, of course, because I'm not sure how I would do with the sort of constant knife fighting side of things. I'm not a very skilled knife fighter. But I hear Melania Trump has managed without any knife fighting skills of her own since she landed with her bevy of Calvin Klein models some months ago?
Yeah, she's all right. She's got into a couple of sort of street fights, but, you know, again, I grew up in the bylanes of Calcutta. She's seen some rough life in Slovenia in the old world. So, you know, together we know how to deal with the rough and tumble of, you know, the rocky life of Mars, no pun intended. But it's tough. It's a bit like the graphic novel Watchmen. It's not easy, you know. There's a lot of rogue lithium roaming around. It's not an easy place, but it would, I think, you know, people would love you here because I think they would be up for that kind of straightforward comedy. And the thing here is that if people don't like the artist, they're immediately killed.
Yes.
Because that's the sort of planet that my client wants to build. And again, at least you know where you stand as an artist, either successful or dead.
I mean, sometimes I long for that simplicity in this double-dealing world of compliments disguised as insults and insults disguised as compliments. How are the Calvin Klein models acclimatizing?
They're doing all right. It's a bit different because their Instagram is not loading. So they can't really send photographs of, you know, lounging around. And when I say lounging around, they're in a sort of oxygen bio bubble, which is running out very quickly as they slowly asphyxiate and die. But that's a different thing that we don't have to get into. These are some of the growing pains of living on a new planet. It's hard to be an influencer in this part of Mars I live in, is what I'm coming to realize.
And of course, Anuvab, I cannot go on without asking you specifically about your most important clients, which is the networked bevy of microchipped pigs, which shot themselves from a homemade rocket from Mount Rushmore not so long ago in order to find their place on Mars. How are they doing?
Well, they've unionized once they got to Mars. they came to realize that if you are a microchipped pig, and you have the same concerns of all the other microchip pigs that got shot in out into space, you have common concerns, and then you can lobby for, you know, similar wages and similar benefits on a new planet.
Well, I mean, not just common concerns, really. In many ways, a shared networked brain of
exactly
surpassing intelligence. So I'm not surprised that they have unionized. What jobs do they do on Mars? What is the job of a microchipped pig?
A range of jobs, actually. You know, just basic grocery stores. They're in the process of setting that up. And also, they do a lot of the electronic payment systems. My client is so happy with their performance that if enough battery-charged humans don't show up, which is our hope on this planet, he would be very happy to run a planet of pigs with microchips in them and service that. That, along with Melania Trump, is a healthy planet, I think. And there's going to be me handling all the litigation.
432,000 criminally insane men, one woman, and 37 microchipped pigs and 7 Calvin Klein models. What more can you want?
Exactly. You know, I went to a boarding school in India and it's eerily familiar. So I'm appropriately trained for what's about to come up.
Well, that's all the time we have for your second top story of this episode. Now it's time for your letters to the editor. Your letters to the editor now. Remember, you can send a letter to the editor by writing to us at the last post at thebuglepodcast.com. Dear Alice, and third place, that's you today, Anuvab.
Fair enough.
Welcome back and thank you for chronicling the post-apocalypse. 2 questions. What is the state of post-apocalypse world of sport? Will the Olympics go ahead? Question 2. Can you hook me up with Dancy's email address? I'd like to send them a proposition for a long-distance relationship. Yours, fourth place. All right, let's address these one at a time because I feel like the second one deserves its own period of time given how badly they've misspelled Dancy. What is the state of the post-apocalypse world of sport, and will the Olympics go ahead in the destroyed ashes of the world? Anuvab, you're a big sport fan. What do you think the state of the world of sport is going to be?
Well, you know, one of the things about the world being destroyed in the ashes is to take the metaphor of that, and being a cricket fan is to try to reinstitute the ashes, as it were, a perennial England versus Australia cricket situation on Mars. And one of the things about working with microchip pigs is that they show a great affinity for cricket, because it's a sort of game that's played continually without very many ups and downs, with a certain kind of monotony and a low hum. And the bovine and the I don't know the verb for pig is, English is my second language.
Porcine.
Thank you. They take very well to cricket. It takes the same amount of bluntness and stupidity to engage in it. So, as you know, I'm getting a lot of success. Now, Alice, it might seem like this is keeping me very busy, you know, building this courthouse, getting pigs to play cricket.
Writing laws,
managing knife fights, and just controlling the crime here. But I think one of the things that get me by here is half a glass of water. One of the things I remember from the old world, from our conversations. I don't get much of that because, as you know,
Mars,
I am
dry.
Paid in Musk biscuits digitally, which then feed me as well. So I guess what I'm trying to say is I miss half a glass of water for my work schedule. So if you ever join us, I don't know if we'll have a chance, but I'd love to share half a glass of water.
I would love that too. And I know what I'm getting you for Christmas.
Thank you.
Regarding whether the Olympics will go ahead, yes, they will. The Tokyo Olympics will continue as planned, but of course, with the presence of a number of gargantuan monsters that have risen from the seabed. So we'll have your regular sports, but they will include such post-apocalypse stars as Gojira and Mothra and so on and so forth. So that looks to be a very exciting Olympics coming up ahead, and I, for one, cannot wait to criticise Godzilla for technique flaws in sports that I don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I just recently caught up on King Kong versus Godzilla just to prepare for the Olympics. You know, I just wanted to watch that and just get ready for what the Japanese or what remains of that country has in store for us in the future.
Regarding the second question in this email, you've spelled Dancy, D-A-N-C-E-I-G-H, rather than correctly D-apostrophe-A-N-C-E-Y. And it is regularly spelled with both first and last name, Lagarde, capital L-A, capital G-U-A-R-D-E. And I will answer your question when you learn how to spell that name correctly, as it is commonly spelled. That's the end of the show. That's all the time we have for your letters to the editor. Thank you for listening to The Last Post. We're here in your ears every month of this year. And if you enjoyed the show, there's a daily version from last year that you can get 366 more doses of. Your guests today were Anuvab Pal and Nato Green. Anuvab, have you got anything to plug?
Yes. The other thing, not plug really, just another thing I miss from the old world. Sarcasm. I just wanted to mention that. And podcasts. That's the other thing I miss. In the old world, I used to do a podcast for Our Last Week, and a version of me left behind on that planet continues to do that podcast, Our Last Week, which is on Spotify. So I would like to plug, on behalf of my avatar, that continuing podcast while I carry on with my busy work on Mars.
Brilliant. Look that up. It's a great podcast. Thank you for listening to The Last Post today. I'm your host, Alice Fraser. The executive producer of this show is the magnificent Christopher D. Skinner. The editor and producer of this show is Ped Hunter, his hench thug. I'm Alice Fraser. Find me online at @alliterative on Twitter and Instagram. I'll see you again next month.
The Last Post with Alice Fraser.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. Their meditations range to fit your needs each day, from anxiety and stress, relaxation and focus, to building habits and taking care of your physical well-being. They even have expert-led talks on topics such as tips for overcoming stress and anxiety, handling grief, improving self-esteem, caring for relationships, and more. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer a 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.